Blog Talk Radio.
Average Joe, welcome to radio. Joe Average, this is. Okay. I'm glad I got that right. Welcome to Average Joe Radio. Happy Memorial Day. Nothing really happy about remembering those that fallen. But it's important in our history in that we have had those that were brave enough to protect our freedom, and we certainly want to honor them and their families and those that will one day be honored. So we're not going to talk about Memorial Day today, other than what I just said. We're going to talk about the atomic bomb. I had promoted it on the post. I believe I posted it yesterday for the show, and then we did a little video today to give you a reminder. And so here we are. We're going to talk about the atomic bomb, but first, let's talk about this day in history. This day, May 24th in 1883, guess what happened? Come on. Okay, I'll tell you. The Brooklyn Bridge was officially open to traffic with a celebration attended by President Bill Clinton. Just kidding. Chester A. Arthur, Governor Grover Cleveland of New York, and Emily Roebling, the wife of the bridge's main engineer, Washington Roebling or Rebling. So that was it. That was today's to this day in history, and that's about all I'm going to say about that. If you don't know about the Brooklyn Bridge, then and you live in the United States, you've probably been living in a cave. It's a really old bridge, obviously, still being used. It's amazing the things that have been done by man that we've created that are, last longer than 25 years, which is kind of what they do with buildings these days. I mean, I know that's not a building, but, they don't really build things that last anymore, including cars. Not likely you're going to see a 2009 Toyota Corolla, in a car show, 25 years from now. But I digress. Nuclear bomb. Atomic bomb, lots of names for it. Let me see. I've got to get my notes together here. I'm got my notes in front of my console. I've got to learn how to drive this thing again. Last week we did was it last week or week before last? I think it was week before last. And we basically did tried to do a show with me doing some ridiculous accents, of which I think it was funny, but it really wasn't worth keeping, so I didn't even keep it in the archives. I was hoping, I had some folks that had called in or had messaged me on Facebook that they would do their impression of somebody or do an accent, but they didn't show up, and I'm not picking on Mr. Scott because, he was on furlough, and we'll forgive him, because his contract says he can be on site or not. Mr. Scott, how you doing, man?
I think I've become unmuted. Doing good, brother. Hope y'all are.
We are doing good. So we're going to talk about the atomic bomb today, Mr. Scott.
Nothing, no less. I hear you. Press home, bro. I'll try to chime
we're
in.
We're going to We're going to do some experiments. We're going to blow some stuff up.
Now you're talking.
You know, just to compare. I don't have any. I don't have any nuclear material, but we're just going to build a model and maybe use some firecrackers and just say this is what it would be like if a nuclear bomb or an atomic bomb was a firecracker.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm scared, but press on.
Did you bring the matches?
Heck no.
Dang
I'm
it.
A part
well,
of that. I'm
the
totally
whole thing
theoretical individual.
Show's over. Show's over. Forget it.
Oh, you didn't ask me to. I would have had. We have no incendiaries here.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm more of a theoretical individual, but yeah, press on.
Well, I do have to say that I'm not a nuclear physicist. I'm actually not a physicist at all, but
nope.
I do like saying physicist because you can get a lot of S's in there.
That does sound good.
I was, you know, you and I were talking earlier. We were talking about, was it yesterday? Yeah, I guess it was. A little show prep going on. We actually do have a pre-production meeting every 6 months, whether we need to or not.
It's very accurate. But that was a good one.
So I did actually pull in a little extra information that I originally was not going to present this evening. But just a little general information to start with. Atomic bomb, sometimes referred to as nuclear bombs, are powerful weapons that use nuclear reactions as their source of explosive energy. Scientists first developed nuclear weapons technically during World War II. Atomic bombs have been used only twice in war. And, again, unless you've been in a cave most of your life, you've probably heard about those two times. They were both by the United States against Japan at the end of World War II in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Nagasaki, and this is really not about the – I mean, it is about the atomic bomb, but just more about its use than it's the actual science behind it. I believe it was, or maybe it was Hiroshima. One of those sites, I was reading it earlier, but now I've already forgotten. Maybe you can correct me on this, Mr. Scott, if I'm wrong. One of those sites was not the original target.
I do not remember, yeah. I think I did hear that weather obscured the original
yeah.
target, and I don't remember
but
that.
There was cloud cover when they were trying to get to wherever it was they were trying to get to. Cloud cover and smoke from other, you know, war blasts, et cetera. And so they actually, one of these sites was, in my notes, it may be further down here, one of those sites was not the original site. So, so one thing
one was bombed? Are you saying which one was bombed? Was the alternate?
No, I know both of them were bombed, but originally one of them was not going to be bombed.
I think Nagasaki was the alternate. I'm not even sure.
It was the alternate. Okay.
I think you're right. I can't remember what we're shooting for, so to speak.
So let's see. Let me scroll down here. I think I might have it in my notes. Here we go. Yes, we do. While in war, or while the war in Europe had ended in April, wait a minute. Here we go. I'm going to get it. Okay, here we go. August 6, 1945, the United States dropped its first atomic bomb from a B-29 bomber plane called, Mr. Scott?
Infamously, and, you know, Nola Gay.
Very good. Ding, ding, ding.
Mother, I think.
You get a free Toyota.
Nice.
No, you get a free Mitsubishi straight from Japan over the city of Hiroshima. So that was the first one. And that one was that was the little boy bomb. And that was actually a an atomic bomb. I think the second one was a hydrogen bomb. But and I'll go back. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. So it exploded with about 13. They had two different technologies they had experimented with, and they wanted to see. The reason they didn't bomb Tokyo was because it was already destroyed. And so they wanted to blow something up to see how much damage it would do, you know. This first bomb, the little boy, exploded with about 13 kilotons of force, leveling 5 square miles of the city and killing 80,000 people instantly. Tens of thousands more would later die from radiation exposure. This is horrible history, but it is what it is. And then the Japanese, they didn't surrender. And so the United States dropped a second atomic bomb 3 days later on the city of Nagasaki. And it was the Fat Man, and it killed an estimated 40,000 people on impact. Nagasaki had not been the primary target for the second bomb. American bombers initially had targeted the city of Kokura, where Japan had one of its largest munitions plants, but smoke from firebombing raids obscured the sky over Kokura, and American planes then turned toward their secondary target, Nagasaki.
Now, did that come out the second H-bomb? Hydrogen.
Well, let me see. I was reading. I actually do read sometimes.
I was going to say, it's not surprising that I did not know that. But I did not.
Well, you know, funny, I didn't know it till yesterday. when I started doing some research. So let's just talk about some of the science here. A discovery by nuclear physicist in a laboratory in Berlin, Germany, in 1938, made the first atomic bomb possible. After Otto Hahn, Lise Meitner, and Fritz Strassmann discovered nuclear fission. And fission is, of course, it's an atom of radioactive material splits into lighter atoms, and there's a sudden release of energy. The discovery of nuclear fission opened up the possibility of nuclear technologies, including weapons. Atomic bombs are weapons that get their energy from fission reactions. However, thermonuclear weapons, or hydrogen bombs, rely on a combination of nuclear fission and nuclear fusion. And nuclear fusion is another type of reaction in which two lighter atoms combine to release energy. So it's kind of doing the opposite with the atoms. So, you know, since I'm a nuclear physicist, I understand this perfectly. I don't know that I can explain it to the layman. But
Mr. Heavy Scott, news indeed. Well, no. Heavy news indeed, either way. We've tried
to Let's go back. I'm going to come back to some stuff. I know I'm kind of jumping around here. And feel free to interject anytime, Mr. Scott.
I will.
By the way, anybody else that wants to call in, if we've got any nuclear experts out there or not, feel free to call in 914-219-0884. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us how wrong we are or how wrong I am. I can't go throwing Mr. Scott under the bus just yet. I try to get him to say some stuff so he can be wrong about stuff too, but he's not taking
under the
bait.
Bus is not so bad. There's lots of shade under the bus. It's good.
So, here we go. Okay. Sorry, guys. Manhattan Project. You probably heard of that. It was the code name for the American-led effort to develop a functional atomic bomb during World War II. I always thought it was in New York since it was called the Manhattan Project, but it was started in response to fears that German scientists had been working on a weapon using nuclear technology since the 1930s. Now, before I move on, I'm going to jump ahead here. A lot of people, when they think about the nuclear bomb or atomic bomb or any of that technology, who do you think of, Mr. Scott? Who would you think most people think of?
I'm sorry, in respect to what?
In just respect to the atomic bomb, who would a lot of people assume that this person invented the atomic bomb?
Well, first one that comes to my mind would be, I think he was a doctor, Oppenheimer.
Well, actually, he did, and you're correct about that. I keep forgetting you're above average, Mr. Scott. But who would less than average people assume maybe could have had at least something to do with the development of the atomic bomb? A very famous brain.
Oh well, your boy, Albert.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
So
that's what I wasn't trying. It wasn't a trick question. I wasn't trying to.
Cool. Made me think that I had to, and I think I did. Yeah, he tried to turn him on to that, and I think he was one of the conscientious objectors that went forward, saying we can't let the genie out the bottle.
Well, what he did was, of course, everybody knows that he's famous for his equation, E equals MC squared, which basically provides the technology or the science or the math behind knowing that what made the atomic bomb theoretically possible. Let me look here. So basically, energy equals the mass squared, or let's see, with an explosion, la la la. Anyway, that there's energy in all mass is what it comes down to. But other than he did the math, showed that the atomic bomb was theoretically possible, but other than that, he really knew nothing about the physics of building a nuclear bomb, which surprised me. I didn't know that. The only thing he did was he thought the Germans were going to develop an atomic bomb, and so he wrote a letter to Franklin Roosevelt, president at the time, warning of the destructive potential of an atomic chain reaction, and then the Germans never did actually develop the weapon before we did. And then after the fact, this was from an issue of Newsweek. I don't see a date on this, but he said, this is a quote unquote, or quote, had I known that the Germans would not succeed in producing an atomic bomb, he told Newsweek, I never would have lifted a finger. He pointed out correctly that he had never actually worked on the bomb project. And he claimed to a Japanese publication, my participation in the production of the atom bomb consisted in a single act. I signed a letter to President Roosevelt.
I never
knew that.
Me too.
It was just his recommendation.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Pardon?
No, I knew he was among the background of people saying, you need to watch this mess. It may work now, but once the genie's out of the bottle, we're in bad shape.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had approached the Japanese afterwards. That's cool.
Let's see, 914-219-0884 if you want to call in. So back to your statement about Oppenheimer, the Manhattan Project was performed in Los Alamos, New Mexico, under the direction of a theoretical physicist. Does that mean he was theoretically a physicist or he was a real physicist?
Good question.
I think I'm a theoretical physicist.
You may well be.
I am. In theory, I'm a physicist. Okay. J. Robert Oppenheimer, father of the atomic bomb. He actually maintains that title. On July 16, 1945, in a remote desert location near Alamogordo, New Mexico, the first atomic bomb was successfully detonated. The Trinity test. It created an enormous mushroom cloud some 40,000 feet high and ushered in the atomic age. So, the scientists at Los Alamos had developed two distinct types of atomic bombs by 1945. A uranium-based design called the Little Boy and a plutonium-based weapon called the Fat Man. Okay, so I'm going to correct myself. I said one was a nuclear and one was hydrogen. That's not correct. One was plutonium-based and one was uranium-based. So does that make sense?
It does, from what I remember, which is sketchy.
So, well, I was just saying the two bombs that they dropped on Japan were one was a atomic and one was hydrogen, but they were actually both atomic, but one was uranium and one was plutonium. Because it was kind of like they were the guinea pigs. They wanted to see how much destruction it would do and how much, you know, which one, you know, did what, you know.
I think the problem was in the hydrogen second, if they had been ready at the time. I don't know. I don't think it was ready.
Right. I don't think so either. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about the Cold War a little bit. But before I do that, because I want to make sure we don't run out of time, because we're running pretty close already, here's one thing I wanted to throw in. And forgive me for jumping around. Well, you don't have to forgive me. You can hold it. You can hold it against me forever. How long did it take to build the atomic bomb, the first one? 27 months. The laboratory was established in 1943 as Site Y of the Manhattan Project for a single purpose to design and build an atomic bomb. It took just 27 months. On July 16, 1945, the world's first atomic bomb was detonated 200 miles south of Los Alamos at Trinity Site on the Alamogordo bombing range. Okay, I just want to throw that in there. And then secondly, a couple other things. More recently, one thing that we've had a problem with, the military, when I say we, is that if you use a regular nuclear bomb, not that we've been using a lot of nuclear bombs, but if you want to destroy a city and you just want to kill the people, if you use a bomb like that, it's just going to obliterate everything, right? So they came up with the neutron bomb. And what the neutron bomb does is it, when it explodes, it has less of a shock wave and less heat, less of a heat wave, but makes everything radioactive, kills people, bomb, and then the buildings are still there.
Right.
So that's something that they've developed in more recent times. I don't know about the history of that. That was kind of after discussing it with one of my consultants, Above Average Don. That was one thing I was reminded of.
That's one of the names I remember from our high school days, I think.
The neutron bomb?
Yeah, the thing to save the infrastructure and just get rid of the unfriendlies, so to speak.
Yeah. The rats. Just kill the rats.
Boy,
that was not very politically correct. On my part. Okay, and then something now that is considered probably the biggest threat is electromagnetic pulse, which is what some of our foes have we have too, I guess, developed. It's exploded. Basically, it's exploded over a city, and the electromagnetic pulse from it knocks out all of your electronics. Anything that runs on electricity is unusable. So that's a bigger threat there, because again, you're not destroying the buildings. You're not even destroying the people per se. I mean, there may be some nuclear fallout at some point, but you're immediately knocking out all of the technology.
Well, I thought it was a byproduct of a typical, and I know nothing of what I'm saying, a typical nuclear blast.
It is.
EMP will be created. It'll,
yes.
Above and beyond all the other horrific mess.
So maybe they've come up with a way, kind of like combining the neutron bomb with, you know, making the electromagnetic pulse more of the, you know, screwing everything up, so to say, for lack of a better. I'm sure there's probably a term for that.
I thought the EMP was a byproduct of any nuclear blast, and I could be completely wrong about that.
No, I agree with you. I think you're right, but I'm just saying that maybe they've worked to fine-tune it so that you still have the EMP.
Just get that. I got you.
But you don't have the shockwave and the heat like you used to, or like a raw atomic explosion.
Quite possible.
Does that make sense?
It do. Unfortunately.
So that, I think we have to worry about that more now than anything, because, I mean, if you take out electricity, you know, you take out water, you take out the power grid, you take out computers, you take out aircraft, you take out automobiles. I mean, everything relies on electronics these days. And so that would be catastrophic, to say the least. It would take us back to the Dark Ages. Now, I'm assuming, and I believe I've had this conversation with people in the know about that, about shielding against that, and there's a lot of, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of you know, infrastructure in place to shield against that. I don't know what that takes, but I guess so. You know, there's some, you know, hole in the ground in a mountain somewhere where that wouldn't be affected by it, so that, you know, at least somebody, whoever's in power, can stay in power and kind of drive the ship and you know, I don't know. I'm kind of rambling.
A little bit.
Rambling, I'm a rambling guy. Oh, where's my banjo? So one thing I was wondering, and about a nuclear blast is compare it to a TNT, to dynamite. How does it compare? So,
very good question.
You know, the amount of energy in a nuclear blast. I got marbles in my mouth this evening. A 1 kiloton nuclear weapon is one which produces the same amount of energy in an explosion as does a 1 kiloton of TNT. So I guess it's comparable. Maybe that's where they get the. They compare it to that. So a kiloton is 1,000 tons. So if you think about 1,000 tons, that's, 2,000 pounds per ton. So what is that, like 100,000 pounds of TNT?
Sounds good.
Or 200,000 pounds of TNT. That's a lot of blast.
It is.
So a megaton weapon would have the energy equivalent of 1 million tons of TNT, while 8 bombs, each with a yield of 125 kilotons, would destroy 160 square miles. I was just trying to get some kind of reference.
That's incalculable. A lot of real estate.
So there's lots more to talk about, and we're actually up against the clock. Mr. Scott, have you got anything else you want to add? I know I've kind of dominated the floor, but...
No, you're fine. I've had very little to add, other than it's a shame. That's where we are, mutually assured destruction, but it works for now, so I don't mean to be flippant about it. It's a very, very heavy...
No. It's a very, very serious thing, obviously. I mean, it's, you know, when you have enough power basically to destroy the planet that you live on,
yeah,
that's a lot of power.
We need to be checks and balances against its misuse, but we all say that periodically.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Thanks for your comments, and again, just being there to bounce off of, and
I enjoyed it as always.
Give your 2 cents worth. I appreciate that, and we're gonna mosey on out of here. And I appreciate you, the audience, for listening. And we'll be back on next week. I'm not sure what we'll be talking about, but I hardly ever do. I just kind of get inspired when I get inspired. So. We'll see you next week.